الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The splendors of paradise. Attar's prayer. O Allah, whoever reads or listens to the booklet entitled The Splendors of Paradise, then with your mercy, grant them, their parents and their family, entry into Jannatul Firdaus without accountability. Ameen. Bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Excellence of reciting salat upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam declared, "He who recites salat upon me 1,000 times in a day shall not die until he sees his place in paradise." Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. The splendors of paradise. Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu narrates, "On the day of judgment, all people will gather on the sirat, standing on the threshold of hell, and each will pass over it according to their deeds. Some as swiftly as lightning, some like the wind, some like birds, some like fast horses, some like fine camels, and some like a man running. The very last person to cross will pass over a narrow path as thin as his two big toes, slippery and sharp like a sword. Angels will be standing on both sides of the bridge with hooks of fire, pulling people off it. Some will safely cross, others will be injured and fall into hell. There will be some who, despite being injured, will still pass safely. The last person to cross will have a door to paradise opened before him. Seeing no blessings inside for himself, he will sit down and plead, 'O Allah, allow me to stay here.' It will be said to him, 'If you are granted this, will you ask for nothing more?' He will take an oath, 'By your honor and majesty, I will not ask again.' Allah will then permit him to stay. Soon after, he will see the palaces of paradise and plead, 'O Allah, take me to them.' He will again be asked, 'Will you ask for anything after this?' He will say, 'By your honor and majesty, never again.' He will be taken to those palaces. Afterwards, he will see even greater splendors and blessings, but say nothing. Allah will ask, 'Why do you not ask now?' He will submit, 'I have already asked too much, and now I feel shy.' At this point, Allah's mercy will come to the fore, and he will proclaim, 'I have granted you paradise equal to the whole world and 10 times more.' This man will be the lowest ranked person in paradise." Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu says, "When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam would narrate this, he would smile so broadly that his sacred mullah teeth would become visible." Dear Islamic brothers, paradise contains blessings that no eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, and no mind has ever imagined, except for those whom Allah Almighty has shown. For example, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam personally witnessed these splendors with his blessed eyes during the night of Al-Miraj. The delights of paradise are eternal. Only Allah Almighty truly knows their reality. The examples of it mentioned in the Noble Quran and sacred ahadith are so we may gain an understanding of that astounding realm. What are some of the blessings the inhabitants of paradise will receive? Let us listen about them and carry out abundant good deeds to attain these bounties. 72 wives. Each male inhabitant of paradise will be granted 72 wives. What about the women of paradise? Sometimes ignorant individuals or those who claim superior education and intelligence challenge religiously inclined people merely to be troublesome, asking if men are given 72 wives in paradise, how many husbands will women receive? In this regard, it must be said that such a question stems from utter ignorance and a corrupt mindset. Whether Muslim or non-Muslim, hardly any nation in this world would deem it acceptable for a woman to have multiple husbands. If, in this worldly life, no one tolerates the idea of one woman having several husbands, then how could such a thing exist in paradise? The beauty of the women of paradise. If a woman from paradise were to glance towards the world would be filled with light and fragrance, and the brightness of the sun and moon would fade before her radiance. The veil of a heavenly woman is better than the entire world and all that it contains. In another narration, it is stated if a hura, singular for hur, a paradise maiden, were to reveal her palm between the heavens and the earth, all creation would fall into tribulation at her beauty. If she were to uncover her veil, her radiance would outshine the sun, just as the sun outshines a lamp. The beauty of things in paradise. If a heavenly object just the size of a fingernail was revealed in this world, the heavens and earth would be adorned by it. If a bracelet from paradise appeared, its light would overpower the sun, just as the sun overpowers the light of the stars. The vastness of paradise. Only Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, truly know how vast paradise is. However, it is said to have 100 levels, and the distance between each is like the distance between the heavens and the earth. As per a hadith narrated in Jami' al-Tirmidhi, if the entire creation were gathered in just one level of paradise, it would still be spacious enough for them. The breadth of a tree in paradise. In paradise, there is a tree so immense that a swift horse rider could travel under its shade for 100 years and still not reach the end of its shadow. The magnitude of the gates of paradise. The gates of paradise are so wide that if a horseman were to ride from one side, he would take 70 years to reach the other. Despite this tremendous width, those entering paradise will be so many in number that their shoulders will touch each other. The splendor and adornment of paradise. The palaces of paradise are made of diamonds, pearls, and precious stones, so clear that the inside will be visible from the outside and the outside from the inside. The walls of paradise are of gold and silver, whilst their mortar is of musk, one brick of gold and the next silver. The ground will be made of saffron with pearls and rubies in place of pebbles. The bricks of Jannatul Adn. One brick of Jannatul Adn will be of pure white pearl, the next of red ruby, the next of green emerald. The mortar will be musk, the grass saffron, pebbles of pearls, and the earth of ambergris. The pavilions of paradise. In paradise, there will be pavilions made of a single pearl 60 miles tall. The rivers of paradise. In paradise, there will be four main rivers of pure water, milk, honey and wine. Streams will flow from these. These rivers do not flow through the earth, as in this world. Instead, they flow on the surface of the land. Their banks will be of pearls and rubies, and their beds of pure musk. The wine of paradise is not like the wine of this world. It has no foul smell, no bitterness, no intoxication, and it does not lead to senselessness or vulgarity. The foods of paradise. In paradise, the dwellers will enjoy every kind of delicious food. Whatever a person wishes to eat will appear instantly before them. If one sees a bird and desires to eat it, that bird will at once appear perfectly cooked before him. If they wish to drink, cups will automatically come into their hands, filled with the exact portion they desire, be it water, honey or milk, no more, no less. After drinking, the cups will return to their places on their own. Purity and cleanliness. In paradise, there will be no impurity or filth of any kind, no urine, phlegm, mucus, earwax, or bodily dirt that causes discomfort. As for how food will be digested, Allah Almighty has decreed that in paradise, food will be digested through a pleasant burp and fragrant perspiration, which will carry the scent of musk. Continuous praise of Allah Almighty. In paradise, the believers will continuously recite tasbih and takbir, willfully and involuntarily, just like breathing. In this world, one pauses or becomes tired after reciting something continuously. There, dhikr will remain upon the tongue effortlessly. 10,000 servants. Each inhabitant of paradise will have at least 10,000 servants. Every servant will hold a golden bowl in one hand and a silver bowl in the other, each filled with varieties of fresh delights. No matter how much they eat, the taste will never diminish. This is unlike worldly food, where the first bite is rich in flavor and the pleasure fades as one's stomach fills. Worldly foods lose their charm when eaten repeatedly. For example, someone who works in a sweet shop soon loses interest in sweets. In paradise, every bite remains as delightful as the first, and every moment brings new joy and satisfaction. 70 flavors in every bite. Each morsel of food in paradise will contain 70 distinct flavors, each clearly distinguishable from the other. In this world, when different foods are mixed, like biryani and sweet rice, they create a third blended taste, but one flavor often overpowers the rest. In paradise, however, no flavor will overpower another. Each taste will be distinct, experienced all at once, yet none overpowering the other, granting the eater 70 layers of delight in a single bite. Eternal youth and unfading garments. The garments of the people of paradise will never wear out, and their youth will never fade. All the inhabitants of paradise will appear to be 30 years old. In this world, youth withers away as years pass, wrinkles form, backs become crooked, and vitality diminishes. In paradise, there will be no aging, no weakness, and no end. The dwellers of paradise will live there forever in youthful perfection, enjoying an everlasting life without death or decline. Radiant faces of the believers. The first group to enter paradise will have faces as bright as the full moon, and the second group will have faces shining like radiant stars. No hatred, envy, or ill feelings. In paradise, all believers will have hearts united as one. There will be no hatred, jealousy, or enmity amongst them. Unlike the world where grudges and envy separate hearts, the people of paradise will be bound by love, free from anger, irritation, and disputes. No harsh words, no quarrels, only peace, harmony, and affection. A life free of sorrow and sickness. There will be no grief, pain, or illness in paradise. No stomach aches, no asthma, no coughing, no chronic disease, no cancer, no distress at all. Unlike the world, paradise will be a realm of perfect health, peace, and eternal happiness. The beauty of the maidens of paradise, Al-Hur al-Ain. Each inhabitant of paradise will have at least two wives from amongst the Al-Hur al-Ain, large-eyed maidens of paradise. They will wear 70 layers of garments, yet the marrow of their shins will still be visible through their flesh and clothing, as clearly as red wine is seen through a crystal glass. This is because Allah Almighty has likened them to rubies. When a thread passes through a hole in a ruby, it becomes visible from the outside. A man will be able to see his reflection in her face more clearly than in a mirror, and even the lowest quality pearl adorning her can illuminate the distance between the east and the west. A narration mentions, if a man places his hand between her shoulders from behind, it would be visible from her front through her body and garments. If a garment of paradise were worn in this world, if a garment from paradise were to be worn in this world, anyone who saw it would fall unconscious, for the brilliance of that clothing would be unbearable for human eyes. To understand this, consider how the sun's dazzling rays blind one's sight when it shines in full glory. The eyes simply cannot bear its brilliance. This is merely an example for understanding. For in truth, only Allah Almighty knows the reality and splendor of these heavenly garments, which no eye in this world can even look at. The effect of the hur's saliva. If one of the hur were to spit into the sea, its salty waters would turn sweet. If a woman of paradise were to spit into the seven seas, they would all become sweeter than honey. The melodious voices of the maidens of paradise. When a person enters paradise, two maidens will be seated, one towards his headside and the other at the foot of his bed, each singing in exquisitely beautiful fashion. Their singing will not resemble worldly songs or satanic music, which corrupt the soul. Instead, their melodies will be filled with praise and glorification of Allah Almighty. Their voices will be sweet and harmonious, such that no ear has ever heard such a sound before. In their heavenly song, they will sing, "We are everlasting and will never die. We are peaceful and will never suffer. We are pleased and will never be displeased. Glad tidings to he who belongs to us and to whom we belong." All the inhabitants of paradise will be beardless. Apart from the hair on their heads, eyelashes and eyebrows, the people of paradise will have no hair anywhere else on their bodies. All of them will be without beards, have eyes lined with kohl, and appear to be 30 years old. No sleep in paradise. There will be no sleep in paradise, as sleep is a form of death. There is no death in paradise. But without sleep, Will they not face difficulty? Someone might wonder, if there is no sleep in paradise, will people become tired or restless? The answer is no. The dwellers of paradise will experience such comfort and happiness that they will never feel the need for sleep. Even in this world, we see people who, out of joy or excitement, forget to sleep entirely. During Ramadan, many spend the nights in worship, and during weddings and festivals, happiness keeps people awake all day and night. If such temporary worldly joy reduces one's need for sleep, imagine the eternal bliss of paradise. There, Allah Almighty will grant such peace and satisfaction that the thought of rest or fatigue will never arise. In this world, a person engrossed in business or chasing success forgets to sleep. Tailors during Eid season, for example, work all day and night. They stop thinking about prayer, Tarawih, or anything else. Their focus is only on making the most of this time financially. Their occupation and schedule stop them sleeping entirely. In truth, nobody can stay awake for 24 hours every day. We must get sleep of some kind. Some can stay awake for days, such is their level of involvement in this world. Yet, Allah Almighty has ordained that the people of paradise will not sleep. Despite not sleeping, the inhabitants will not experience any worry or discomfort. Amir Ahlus Sunnah's wish. Amir Ahlus Sunnah, Mawlana Ilyas Al-Qadri, Damat Barakatul Aliyah, once expressed his heartfelt wish. I wish to never sleep, and I wish for this to never make me sick or tired. I wish I could work for the religion of Allah tirelessly, 24 hours a day. Yet this is difficult to attain, as sleep is part of the system Allah has created. O those who love Allah's messenger, the world is a place of tests, which is why there are many hardships, worries, restrictions and problems here. When we are successful in this test, then all these worries, concerns and restrictions will come to an end. Paradise is an immense display of Allah's power, where blessings and bounties will overflow, and no worries will occur. There will neither be any disbelievers in paradise, nor any people with whom we will quarrel. There will only be peace and harmony. Pulpits of gold and silver. In paradise, there will be pulpits made of gold and silver. Even the lowest ranked person in paradise will sit upon a hill of musk and camphor, and none will think themselves lesser than another. This means none will think that only they have a hill of camphor, whilst another person sits on a chair of light. No envy or pride will exist. Every heart will be perfectly content, seeing Allah Almighty. In paradise, the believers will behold Allah Almighty without any difficulty, just as multitudes can see the sun and moon without obstruction. When the people of paradise see Allah Almighty, He will say to one of them, O so-and-so, son of so-and-so, do you remember the day you did such and such? In other words, He will remind them of some sins they committed in the world. The person will submit, O Lord, did you not forgive me? Allah will declare, indeed it is due to my expansive forgiveness that you reached this rank. A cloud will come forth and rain down fragrance upon the dwellers, which they have never smelt before. Allah Almighty will proclaim, go to the honour I have prepared for you and what you will. They will visit a heavenly marketplace surrounded by angels, where treasures unseen by any eye or imagined by any heart will await. There will be no buying or selling. Whatever one wants will instantly become theirs. The people of paradise will meet one another. When a person of lower rank sees someone of higher status, the former will admire the latter's clothing. Immediately, the former's own attire will become even more beautiful than the latter. There will be no grief or jealousy, only ever-increasing delight. When they return home, their wives will greet them joyfully, saying, "You have returned more radiant and beautiful than when you left." They will reply, "We have just presented ourselves to Allah Almighty and beheld Him. Why would our beauty not increase?" The manner of meeting in paradise. In this world, meeting someone requires travel and effort. In paradise, it will be amazingly effortless. If one wishes to visit another, his throne will simply glide to that person. Another narration states that splendid horses and carriages will be brought for them, and they will ride wherever they wish. The lowest ranked person in paradise. Even the lowest ranked inhabitant of paradise will have gardens, wives, servants, and thrones stretching 1,000 years in distance. Yet the most honored in the court of Allah Almighty will be the one who is blessed to see him every morning and evening. The greatest blessing is to behold Allah Almighty. When the people of paradise have entered it, Allah Almighty will declare, "Do you desire anything more I may give you?" They will submit, "O Allah, you have brightened our faces, admitted us into paradise, and saved us from hellfire." The veil will be lifted from the people of paradise, and there will be no blessing greater for them than to behold Allah Almighty. The reservoir of Kawthar. Amongst paradise's countless blessings is Al-Kawthar, the reservoir granted to our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He has two of these, one before the Sirat and one after. On the Day of Judgment, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam will give this water to his parched followers. Whoever drinks it will never feel thirsty again. Every prophet will have a reservoir from which their nations will drink, and they will feel joy over the large numbers of their followers. Yet the largest gathering will be the Prophet's Ummah at his reservoir. It is mentioned in a hadith, "Every Prophet has a reservoir. They shall express joy amongst themselves when one of their reservoirs is visited by more people. I hope that the number of visitors at my reservoir shall be greatest." A question and its answer. Someone may wonder, in paradise, there is Al-Kawthar, pure wine, rivers of milk, honey and water, but since no one will ever feel thirst there, why will the dwellers of paradise drink them? The answer is simple. The people of paradise will drink not out of need, but for pure delight and enjoyment. With every sip, this will increase. To understand this better, think of this. When we feel thirsty, we drink water. But sometimes, even after quenching our thirst, we still drink tea, juice, or a cold drink, not out of necessity, but for taste and enjoyment. Likewise, the dwellers of paradise will drink for delight, not to satisfy thirst. The blessings of paradise are so magnificent that no one would ever wish to miss out on them. The one who enters paradise is truly successful, and the one deprived of it is indeed unfortunate. If we genuinely believe that paradise is real and eternal, then why don't we strive to attain it? Even in this world, nothing worthwhile is achieved without effort. For instance, a person studies for years to secure a good job, struggling day and night, sitting exams and attending interviews, sometimes using recommendations or even bribery, just for a temporary position. If we work so hard for a worldly job, which can end at any moment, then how negligent are we for not striving for paradise, whose blessings are everlasting, and whose beauty no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no heart can imagine. To attain the world, one faces countless hardships, yet continues to strive. But for paradise, even a little effort feels difficult, though it requires far less struggle. For example, paradise has been promised to those who establish prayer. What hardship is there in offering prayer? Each day we spend 8 to 12 hours working, yet we hesitate to spend an hour praying 5 times a day, which could earn us eternal paradise. How astonishing that people willingly endure pain, fatigue, and pressure for worldly goals, but are unwilling to bear even the smallest sacrifice for the abode of everlasting joy. Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi narrates the saying of a pious person: if man loved paradise as much as he loves wealth, he would attain both. Sadly, most people love only their wealth, lands, shops and houses, not the eternal gardens of paradise. They rejoice upon hearing about paradise. They say, Subhanallah, send blessings upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, even smile and sway with joy, yet make no practical effort to attain it. If one truly desired paradise the way he desires property or success, and then acted upon that desire, paradise would surely be his. But most only wish for it without working for it. Revive the sunnah. Whoever revives the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and follows his way with true love will be with him in paradise, insha'Allah. Act upon the sunnah and adorn your face with a beard, for it holds immense reward. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi alayhi writes, he who keeps a beard in this era will receive the reward of 100 martyrs. Alhamdulillah, Da'wat-e-Islami has played a major role in the growing revival of the sunnah beard in today's society. Otherwise, how many people would grow the beard previously? This sunnah was gradually fading day by day. Keeping a fist-length beard or wearing an imamah is perceived as difficult in today's society. When encouraged to wear an imamah, for example, some say, people at my workplace will make fun of me. In reality, such people often have weak character, are quick to argue, joke, or quarrel. If they became solemn and dignified, no one would mock their imamah. Even if someone mocks you for wearing one, be patient and walk away silently. After 2 or 3 times, those who ridicule will grow silent themselves. A satanic excuse. Some people avoid wearing an imamah by saying that if they make a mistake, people will not only criticize them, but also speak ill of the imamah itself. To such people it is said, keep your character pure, live as a practicing Muslim, then people will be impressed by you and follow your example, insha'Allah. If your actions are lacking, your tongue is sharp, you are quick to anger, or if you lack manners altogether, people will not look at your appearance, but criticize your character. They will resent you not because of the sunnah you wear, but because of the behavior you show. Follow the sunnah and keep a beard. Adorn your head with an imamah and start wearing sunnah style clothing. Insha'Allah, before long, you will notice a radiance and dignity in your personality, and people will begin to respect and revere you. Remember, your trousers should be above the ankles, as the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, the garment that hangs below the ankles out of arrogance is in hellfire. Sadly, people pay no attention to this nowadays. We only verbally express the desire to be saved from hell, but make no effort in action to save ourselves. When it comes to worldly poverty, every one of us makes every possible effort to avoid it. If only we feared hell as much as we fear poverty, we would be saved from both. Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi narrates from a pious elder, if people feared hell as much as they fear poverty, they would be safe from both. O those who love Allah's Messenger, paradise is a great favor of Allah Almighty. We should strive wholeheartedly to attain it and protect ourselves from hell by walking firmly on the path that leads to paradise. May Allah Almighty, by the honor of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, grant us entry into paradise without reckoning and without punishment. Ameen. Bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.